a gal that meets with us in a small group up in Lac des Flambeaux. And she had received a Facebook notice that there was someone looking to give away a baby grand piano. It belonged to their mother. They were looking for some nonprofit or organization in Flambeaux area that would take that. Well, this gal and also my wife, who are both musicians, were obviously very excited about the thought of perhaps having a grand piano that would be a part of ministry up there. And so it was exciting to think about how God may be providing in this situation. And so they contacted the individual and whoever it was, this post, and they said, yeah, they'd be interested in talking about it. And then they got back, and here was the post. It said, the piano is in a storage company of a logistics company in Knoxville, Tennessee. I will give you their contact info so you can get in touch with them regarding shipping. Okay? So in this culture, we know what's going on here, don't we? Now, there's maybe a 1% chance that this could be legitimate. But chances are it's not. There are thousands of people right now whose full-time job is to deceive you, right? That's what they do for a living. They scam people. They try and make money off of people in our world and in our culture in any deceptive way that they might do that. This morning, John is going to talk about deception. He's going to talk about something way bigger than grand pianos, however. He's going to talk about deceiving spirits that are trying to destroy your soul. And so in some ways, it's kind of a sobering passage. John means it to be encouraging to us, and hopefully you'll see that. But it's a very important passage for our day. Because just as there are thousands of people that are seeking to deceive us and to take from us our money, I mean, imagine, as John's going to remind us this morning, that there are myriads of beings and spirits that are seeking to destroy the souls of families and people and children and churches. And so turn with me to John's words here in 1 John. We're going to be looking at six verses, chapter 4, those first six verses. And I'd like you to follow along. Those of you who are young people today, I really want to encourage you to listen, because this is the world that you're growing up in. And the last thing you want to do is to be deceived. And so my prayer is that, you know, when you've grown up, and I think just a word about young people, they're pretty savvy in terms of really not trusting anyone, because they've seen so much of that deceptive thing that goes on in their culture. So who do you believe? And my prayer is that we and you would believe that the God who created us has given us his word, and that his word is trustworthy. So we're going to look into that word and hear what John is speaking to us today. Let's read through it, and then we're going to walk through it and end with a few points of application. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So let's break that first verse down into just three lines. Number one, do not believe every spirit. So now when you read that, that should catch your attention. When John says, do not believe every spirit, that would tell us there must be multiple spirits out in the world. Now, sometimes when we talk about spirits, we kind of relegate that to more charismatic thinking and so forth. But John here is making it very clear. There are spirits at work in our world. Multiple spirits. I mean, imagine those fallen angels and imagine all the demonic beings. I mean, what are they doing? Well, they are involved. God has allowed for this time for God of this age, the prince of the power of the air, and those that serve him to be active in our world. And so that is the reality. There are spirits in our world. Actually, if you start in verse chapter 3, verse 24, it really flows. You know, initially there were no chapter divisions, and I think you could have actually started this with verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given us. So, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And so we see here that John is going to make the point, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God. And so when truth comes or information comes or ideas come, you need to test that to say, is that from the Spirit of God? Because that would be truth. But if it's not from the Spirit of God, then where is it coming from? Well, it's coming from one of these other spirits. The word here is pneuma. It means a being with a will and an intent. So these spirits have an intention. They have a will. They are beings. And so they are at work. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 when he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, rulers, powers, you know, authorities. And so the picture we have biblically is that we're not alone here. When I say that, some people would think I'm talking about aliens. I'm not talking about aliens. I'm talking about spiritual forces of darkness in and around these spirits which are at work. And so we see here that we need to be sensitive to the fact that that's going on in our world. There are actually three sources of information coming into your life right now. Three sources. It's either from secular culture, from natural man, from man's natural thinking, and we know that man's nature is fallen, so it's not that man can't conceive truth. Even an atheist who says, you know, I shouldn't murder people is understanding a truth, but there's also a lot that comes from natural man, which is not truth and is not true. So truth comes, knowledge comes from natural man, knowledge comes from the Spirit of God. So John is going to say, when you follow the Spirit of God, you will walk in truth. And then, as he reminds us here, there are these fallen angels, demonic spirits that are active. We saw they were active in the first century. You know, Paul meets a woman who had a spirit that was giving her the supernatural ability to, you know, see things that otherwise she couldn't know, and they were making money off of her because she would tell people their fortune, so to speak. We see in 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul is warning Timothy. Listen to what he says. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. How? By devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. So there are teachings of demonic beings, and there are deceiving spirits which are present and They were present in the first century. They have not died off. They have not diminished. They have not gone away. They are present in our culture, and you and I are exposed to them. And so John is concerned that we are aware of that. By the way, spirits have supernatural power. Just because you see something supernatural doesn't mean it's necessarily of God. You know, we tend to think if something supernatural happens, well, it must be God. Well, Moses threw down his staff, right, and it turned into a snake. And the magicians threw down their staffs, and they turned into snakes. Now, Moses' snake ate and consumed the other ones, but they both had supernatural abilities. And so, in fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israel is warned, and here's what the writer says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder. In other words, something supernatural. A prophet comes along and gives you something that maybe he foretells a dream or something that's going to happen, and it actually happens. He says, and the sign and wonder that he tells you comes to pass, so it actually happens. And if he says, and here's the test, let us go after other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So it's saying there may be people who can do miraculous things and have signs and wonders, and yet if they're not pointing you in to the God, and we're going to see specifically here to the God-man Jesus, then they're not of God. And they are actually a test to see if you will listen to the Spirit of truth that God has given. You know, this can manifest itself even in smaller ways or very even deceptive ways. I had when we went to Roseau, there was a secretary in my church. She'd been through a really rough background, childhood growing up. And after I got to know her, she confided in me and she said, you know, I have this ability often when I'm sitting at my desk in my office with the door closed and I hear somebody come in, I know who it is without even seeing them. I know who it is. I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, well, do you think this is from God? And I was suspicious because God doesn't do table tricks. It just didn't sound like the Spirit of God. And so I said to her, what if we were to pray that if this power you had, if this was not from God, that God would take it away. And she had a heart open to God. She said, sure, I'm open to pray for that. So we prayed. She said, God, if this is not of you, would you remove this from her life? And she lost the ability to do that. So we knew it wasn't from God. And it was sad for her because this had kind of been her little friend through all these years. It had kind of been her comfort. Something supernatural that kind of God was doing in her life. But it wasn't pointing her to Jesus. It was actually drawing her away from Jesus in that way. And so spirits are deceptive. The point I'm making is, and we need to be very careful as we live out our lives, that just because something gives us some supernatural experience does not necessarily mean that it's from God. So, do not believe every spirit. There are spirits in our world. Here's the second thing. Look at the next line. Then test the spirits to see if they are of God. Test the spirit to see if they are of God. So, to test means to examine the truthfulness and the source of truth. So, what is the source of truth? And knowledge, let me put it that way. What's the source of the knowledge so you can verify if it is truth or not? Is it from God or not? We see here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, and he says, do not despise, he says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. That can be foretelling, or it could even be to prophesize, even to speak forth the word of God. He says, so don't despise that. And then he said, but test everything. Test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5. And so we need to test these spirits. And by the way, look at the last part of that verse. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so what John is saying here is there are many spirits. We need to test them. And the way in which spirits manifest themselves is through people. You've probably never had a spirit just come up and start talking to you, right? You've heard of the word mediums. Well, medium is a person that is a channel for a spirit. And so mediums speak. And so spirits speak through people. They'll speak through people who claim to be speaking forth God's word. They can speak through teachers. And so we need to test everything. Paul says test everything to make sure it is of God. And so these words about false prophets, I Googled biblical warnings for false prophets. The first site that came up said 183 passages about warning us about false prophets. There is a lot in the Bible about being aware of false prophets, people who are speaking with a source of information other than the Spirit of God. And so we are called to be discerning in that. So verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. So here's how we can know the source of truth. Here's how we can know that what we're hearing is not from evil spirits, it's not simply from natural man, but it's actually from God. And here's John's test, all right? By the way, this is important. I'll come back to this again because this is important. John has three basic tests in his book. Three tests to have, so we know we have the assurance that we have been born of God, that we are in Him. He has the obedience test. I think it was last week we talked about the fact that anyone that practices ongoing sin in their life and does not display any kind of desire for obedience or pursuing God in obedience, you don't have assurance that you're in the faith if you're not obedient. Number two, as we're going to see next week, is love. You say you've been born of God, but you don't love. John's going to tell us next week, those two don't go together. And the other one is a doctrinal or a truth test, what you believe. And this, it's going to focus in on what you believe about Jesus. And so here we have a truth test, a way that we can test the spirits. And here it is. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, at first reading, if you know some things about some groups of people, Jehovah's Witnesses would say Jesus came in the flesh. Mormons would say Jesus came in the flesh. A Muslim would say Jesus came in the flesh. In fact, even an atheist might say, yeah, I believe historically there was a man named Jesus and he lived in the flesh. And so there has to be something more here that John is saying, which there definitely is. Even the demons in Mark, there are several situations where Jesus came and the demons confessed that he was the Son of God. So, what is he saying? Well, notice the word there, every spirit that confesses, okay? Every spirit that confesses. So that word confess, it doesn't say every spirit that believes that Jesus came in the flesh. Every spirit that confesses, that word means to fully and completely endorse. So if a spirit doesn't fully and completely endorse Jesus, then it's a false spirit. It's a spirit of error, and it's going to lead you astray, is what he's saying here. And in this situation, so we have these Gnostic believers, and I believe there was a spirit behind the teaching of Gnosticism. And so what they said was, well, Jesus was born as a man, simply a man, and then the Christ came upon him at his baptism. And Christ dwelt in him during his life, and then right before he gave up his life on the cross, that Jesus Christ left this man. And so that person on the cross, that was not God dying for you. That was not Jesus the Christ, the God-man. He never died for your sin. By the way, that Jesus won't save you. John says the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that God came in the flesh and went to that cross, and it was God who died on that cross. John says, any spirit that doesn't confess that, any spirit that doesn't adhere to the apostolic gospel which you've heard from the beginning, is not of God. And that spirit is going to be feeding you information that is not truthful. It will be deceptive, by the way. These spirits are very deceptive. And so we are admonished to be aware. Another thing about this verse, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, it doesn't say came in the flesh. It says they confess that he has come. And that's a present imperative verb. Jesus has come. So here's why that's important. If it said Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that would be like saying Kim Swenson came to Medford. Okay, that means I showed up at some point. I came to Medford. However, if you were to say Kim Swenson has come to Medford, that means I've come here. That means I'm present here. That means I'm active here. And so any spirit that does not confess, fully adhere to the fact that Jesus Christ has come and is here and is ongoing, in an ongoing way is here, is not from God. Verse 3, he reiterates it. Notice what he says. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. By the way, here's what the spirit of the Antichrist does. It will be consistent. It will always seek to either lead you away from a focus on Christ or to diminish Christ. The work of Christ, the power of Christ, or the presence of Christ in your thoughts and in your affections. It can be on some supernatural experience. There are people that get off into and they live for supernatural experiences, but they're not living for Christ. And so this spirit will draw us away from the fullness of our affections towards Christ. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. John refers to it back in chapter 2, verse 18, and this spirit is already present. Look at verse 4. He said, little children, now he's going to assure them. This is intended for us to be encouraged. Little children, you are from God. He said a couple weeks ago, he said it this way. You are children of God because you have been born of God through the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. So little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. So you've overcome the deceptive power of these spirits in the world. Notice what he says. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so John here is reminding us that as children of God, we have been born of God, and the Spirit of God, as he says in verse 3:24, is now in us. And so greater is he that is in us than these spirits that are in the world. And so every believer, if we will avail ourselves to that Spirit, will be able to discern truth from error. Now, that's something we have to be intentional about. We have to be careful about. We have to be in the Word about. But this is an assurance that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. But we, notice verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. And so what he's saying here is that the world listens to the spirits of error. And they buy into that. And the reason they listen to it and they hear the world is because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And so they can't discern that this is a spirit of error. And they believe it's a spirit of truth. But, as he said, we have the Spirit of Christ in us. He abides in us, and greater is he who is in us. And so we can discern between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, because that very spirit of truth lives in us. This is so appropriate for our day. Let me just share here just a few examples of how this manifests itself in the day in which you and I live. I'll just give you one example of how this can happen. From a couple centuries ago, there was a young man, he's 14 years old. There's a revival going on in Western New York. People are going back to church from all denominations. God is moving, and there's a 14-year-old boy who's wondering if this is really of God or not. And so he goes to James chapter 1. He reads that verse that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And he goes out into the woods and he asks God to show him the truth. And lo and behold, there are two beings in light, white light. And he hears one of them say, this is my beloved son, hear him, were the words that were spoken. 14-year-old boy. And he said that he was told that the church had lost their way in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that God was going to use him to reiterate the true gospel. He was also shown on a field where there were these tablets, and that God was going to lead him there and let him know what this would look like. And so over the next 4 years, there were many occasions where he was in the Spirit, drawn to this area, and out of this whole thing came what we now have to be the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith was his name. Joseph Smith talks about a burning in the bosom is what he called it. In fact, if you talk to a Mormon today, they will talk about the burning in the bosom. And the burning in the bosom is the validation, it's the sign that the Book of Mormon is from God. Any Mormon will talk about that experience, that feeling that comes over them. Listen to what Paul writes in the book of Galatians, and I couldn't help but think of this passage when I was reading this week about the beginnings of the Mormon religion. This is what Paul says. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And this is verse 9. As we said before, and I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul says, even if you see an angel from heaven, if he gives you a different gospel, a different Jesus. By the way, the Mormon Jesus is Lucifer's brother. I don't know if you know that. He was a created being. But the God that we worship has another father who had another father who had another father. That Jesus Christ was the first man that was able to perfectly come to that point of becoming a God. That one day you can become a God. I'm here to tell you that is a key example of a deceptive spirit at work in the world. There are now 16 million people that adhere to the Mormon religion. Those spirits are active in our day. So we have the New Age movement. I think it's a spirit of deception. New Age says God's in you. He's in all of us. There's no need for atonement. There's no need to be restored to God. God's already in you. You just need to allow that God to come out. Jesus was, again, the first one to recognize that he was God, and so can you. That's what New Age would teach. There's progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity says, you know, this book was written in the first century. There are things in the Old Testament that don't apply anymore, you know, in the New Testament. And so the New Testament had truths, but this is 2,000 years later. This is a different time. This is progressive. Everything progresses. So what was true back then is not necessarily all true now. And so there are different ways that we live, and our culture is different. You know, the idea of a punitive God who would send people to hell, that's not something, it's kind of from a different place and time. We just don't buy that anymore. Progressive Christianity, people that claim to be Christians that don't believe the Bible is timeless, believes that things are changing and we need to change with it. There's the prosperity gospel is another one. Is that your destiny is waiting for you. Whatever you think, whatever you desire, it's just a matter of faith and God will give it to you. You don't need to be poor. God has a financial destiny awaiting you. You don't need to be sick. God has perfect healing. You just need to speak that and have the faith that God will do what your agenda for God. It's a really perverted, I think, a spirit of this age. There's deconstructive teaching, which says, you know what, young people? You need to take everything you learned from your parents, everything you learned at church, everything you learned in Sunday school, and you need to just kind of clear the table, and you need to decide what you believe. Deconstruct what you believed and then rebuild it in a way that fits today and fits you. That is so contrary to the teaching of John. Like, listen to what John says over and over and over again. John 2:24. You'll see it up on the screen. Let what you heard from the beginning. He's talking here about that apostolic gospel of who Jesus is and what he did and that he lived that perfect life and he went to that cross and he died and he rose. That basic truth you heard from the beginning. He says, let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father, and his Spirit of truth will abide in you. John 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. 1 John 2, verse 7, beloved, I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but an old commandment that you had when? From the beginning. Chapter 2, verse 14, I write to you, fathers, because you know who him who is from the beginning. Chapter 3, verse 11, he writes, for this is a message that you have heard from the beginning. When you take this book and you make a decision in your life that this is not the Word of God, that this is not the timeless truth, when you open yourself up to other truths, then you open yourself up to the deceptive power of spirits in this world and in this age. And let me tell you, those spirits are not, they're not simple. They are powerful. They are far more, you know, as sophisticated as some of these scammers may be in our day. Those scammers are nothing compared to the deceptive power of spirits. In fact, in the end of time, it says that the deception will be so powerful that even if the way it's stated there in the text doesn't mean it would happen, but he's saying it's so powerful that it almost could deceive the elect, those who are the people of God. And so this is our anchor. This is what keeps us where God wants us to be. The spirits of the day, they have two goals for your life: to bring you into darkness and ultimately to bring you into death. That's what the Bible teaches. Their goal is to destroy your soul. To the contrary, the Spirit of God that God has put within his people, the goal of the Spirit is to bring you light that we might see the way and ultimately to bring us life, even the life of God in us. Father, we thank you for these words of 1 John. We hear John with affection and care calling this church a little children. Father, we sense his heart for them, and that the last thing he wants is for them to be deceived and to be walking down roads that lead to destruction and darkness and ultimately death. And so he reminds them that there are spirits in the world that we need to be aware, but that greater is he, you who are in them, than he that is in the world. Father, as John prayed that for that group of Christians in his day, Father, I pray that for your church today. And I specifically pray that for this body, for the people in this room hearing this message. Father, might we understand this truth that there are spirits of error that are seeking and are leading people astray. And so, Father, might we be diligent, might we be aware, and might we be pursuing the truth that you have given us and delighting in your word and trusting in your word. Father, I pray this for your church. In Jesus' name, amen.